Hey, welcome to Hope City's podcast. We're so excited that you chose to listen to us, and we hope you enjoy today's message.
Today, and we've been in this series titled Follow Me, and we've been learning some good lessons, some solid lessons about what it looked like to follow Jesus. And what I love about these lessons, Jesus calls the most unlikely people to be his followers. And then he teaches them how to do the most unlikely things, the most unexpected things. One of my favorite things about the disciples that Jesus calls was that he called messy people that were right in the middle of their mess, that were walking through their mess. And he didn't say, okay, get yourself cleaned up and then follow me. He said, hey, follow me, but we're going to leave the mess behind. And we're going to start walking forward in who I've called you to be. Now, it doesn't mean that as soon as those followers of Jesus walked away from their mess, that they were never messy again. In fact, all throughout the New Testament, we read that they were still messy. Even this morning, I read in John, I read, and I was like, man, they are messy. They're still doing messy things. And you know what? Jesus didn't say, you're not my disciple anymore. Right. He just corrected it and moved forward. If the disciples were going to follow him, they were going to have to leave the mess behind and start walking forward. And we're going to be talking today about that very idea of leaving the mess behind and walking forward. The title of today's message is A New Way. And we're going to be diving into the ways that Jesus acknowledges the old traditions and still also introduces new ones, new traditions, new customs. We're reading today in Matthew chapter 9, starting in verse 14. And it says, one day, the disciples of John the Baptist came to Jesus and asked him, why don't your disciples fast like we do, like the Pharisees do? Jesus replied, do wedding guests mourn while celebrating with the groom? Of course not. But someday the groom will be taken from them and they will fast. Besides, who would patch old clothing with new cloth? For the new patch would shrink and rip away from the old cloth, leaving an even bigger tear than before. The next one. And no one puts new wine into old wineskins. For the old skins would burst from the pressure, spilling the wine and ruining the skins. New wine is stored in new wineskins so that both are preserved. We're going to break down this passage just a little bit today. But in the beginning of this passage, John's disciples, John's followers, come to Jesus and they have a genuine question. And what I love, this happened, and then a few verses before this, the Pharisees came to him with a genuine question as well. And what I love about this is that they're being so real. They're coming to Jesus and they're going, listen, Jesus, we are followers of God. Like, we know God. We are, like, come from the line of Israel. We're Israelites. We're the Jewish people. We know God. And this is not the way we've been taught to follow him. You're doing things differently than we've been taught, than the Pharisees have been taught. I honestly have a question. What's going on here? Why is it different? And I think so often this passage is looked at, and many other passages are looked at kind of in a judgmental light of like, we look at it and we're like, it's Jesus. Can you just follow him? Quit arguing. He's telling you what to do. Now just do it. But this was their whole life. This is what they had been taught their entire lives. This is how they were raised and their fathers were raised and their grandfathers were raised. And generations of tradition was all built up saying, this is the way we follow God well. And now Jesus comes on the scene and he's shaking that up. And they've got questions about that. And that's okay that they have questions. Jesus answers those questions. And he answers them with some analogies, three analogies, in fact, and we're going to kind of go through each of those analogies today. Now, the specific question that the disciples were asking was about fasting. But then Jesus' answer was about far more than fasting. It was a much broader topic that Jesus answered them about the new kingdom that he was introducing. And I want to focus today mostly on that broader new kingdom that Jesus was introducing. But I really didn't feel right. I didn't feel like it did this passage justice to skip over fasting entirely. And so I do want to talk about the fasting piece for just a minute. Fasting could be done in this tradition, in this time period. Fasting was done for several reasons. It could be done as an expression of remorse for wrongdoing, as an expression of mourning for someone who was lost. It could also be a spiritual discipline meant to help people to focus on spiritual matters. And that's most likely the way that John's followers had been practicing it, was as a spiritual discipline that was focused on them drawing closer to God. Here's what I want us to hear today. There is a time for fasting. And Jesus said in this passage, there's a time for fasting. The first analogy that he talked about was a wedding. And he was saying, he was kind of addressing that fasting as a practice for mourning. And he gave an example that was a sharp contrast to mourning, which would be a wedding. In this time, a wedding was a party. It was days long of dancing and feasting and having fun. And it was an all-out party for several days. And so Jesus, what he was saying is, so the disciples come, they're like, they're not fasting. And Jesus is like, there's nothing to be sad about. I'm here. This is a party. I'm with you right now. We'll fast. There will be a time to fast later when I'm not here anymore. But while I'm here, can we live it up a little? I'm here right now. Let's party. And he's explaining to them, me being here is like a wedding. It's not like I'm gone and we should be mourning me. But what I love is Jesus said, there will be a time for fasting. Jesus wasn't coming to throw everything out. I've heard so many times people say, well, yeah, fasting, that's what they did in the Old Testament. That was in the Old Testament. Like, we're in 2024 now. We're New Testament Christians, right? Jesus never said that. He never said, throw it all out. He never said, oh yeah, everything that you've learned so far, go ahead and kick that out the window because none of that matters. In fact, most of his words and his teachings claimed the opposite. They claimed it's good to do what the law taught you, but make sure you're doing it for the right reasons and at the right time. There's a time to fast. There's a time to say no to your physical body in order to focus on spiritual matters. There's something special that happens in the spiritual realm when we choose to say no to our physical desires as a response to our Heavenly Father. What Jesus was saying to John's disciples that day was, is the same thing that's true for us today. He was saying, hey guys, there's a time for fasting. And I want you to hear that today. There's a time for fasting. There's a time for you to choose to say no to your physical body in order to draw close to God. As I said before, Jesus wasn't just talking about fasting though. He answered them talking about this entire new kingdom, all of the new customs that he was introducing. The second analogy that he talked about was kind of helps us understand that new kingdom. And it was about putting new fabric on to patch an old piece of clothing. And what the verse said is it explained that if you put new fabric on top of to patch old fabric, when you wash it, it will shrink. The new fabric will shrink. It will tear away from the old fabric, leaving you a bigger mess than what you started with. Jesus is making a point here about old traditions and customs. He's saying, if we keep doing things just because it's what we've always done, it defeats the purpose. Jesus is saying, I came to establish a new kingdom, a new order. I came to make things better and different. And if we keep doing things the same old way, it's going to end up worse than it was before. Our first point for today is that change is good. Hear me when I say, there's stuff you're carrying from before life with Jesus that is clashing with the life that he's called you to. I'm going to say it one more time. There's stuff you're still carrying with you from before life with Jesus that's clashing with the new life that he's called you to. It's like you have these old pair of jeans. How many of you guys have a favorite pair of jeans or have had a favorite pair of jeans? You guys are lying. That's not true. Thank you to the three honest people in this crowd today. First service, raise their hand. You have an old pair of jeans that you love. And today, that old pair of jeans represents years of life and a way of life that you're used to, that you're comfortable with, that fits you, or you think they fit you so well. You're hoping for a day that they will fit you as well as they used to. I don't know. We can't get too far into the jean analogy here. But these jeans are beat up. They are not functioning the way that they were designed. Kelly, go ahead and give us those jeans. You can't do in them what you used to be able to do in them. And if you try, we all know what's going to happen to these jeans if you try to do in them what you used to do in them. Jesus has handed you a new pair of jeans. A brand new pair of jeans that fits you perfectly. And he has said, here's these jeans. You can do everything you need to do in them. But you're still holding on to the old ones. And you're trying to take pieces of this new calling that Jesus has for you, pieces of the fabric of the new life, and you're trying to patch them onto this old pair of jeans in hope that you will keep them functional enough to be able to keep walking in that same way of life that you're used to, and it's going to make a bigger mess than you had before. Friends, change is good. God requires change. So let me ask you this. What in your life do you need to invite Jesus to show you a whole new way, a whole new perspective, a whole new way of doing things? When I was in high school, well, from the time I was born until about my sophomore year in high school, my mom was a stay-at-home mom. And I got to bear the fruit of having a stay-at-home mom. What that meant for my life was that she worked her butt off. But also, if Cherie left her homework sitting on the table, it was just a phone call away, and probably mom was going to bring it for me. And if I forgot my basketball shoes, I could call and be like, Mom, you have to save me. And she was going to come with those basketball shoes, and she was going to save the day, right? And I'm not saying that this happened all the time, because if it happened all the time, she would have been like, figure it out. But I knew that if everything else failed, my mom was at home, and she could probably come through for me. That was my way of life. My way of life was that I had this crutch that I could lean on, and I knew it was going to be there if crisis came. When I was a sophomore in high school, my mom went back to work. And I was like, it's fine. It's not a big deal. She's going back to work. It's fine. Until that first day that I forgot my basketball shoes. And that first day that I forgot my basketball shoes, I called my mom and I was like, Mom, I'm going to be in so much trouble. My coach is going to make me run until tomorrow. I need my basketball shoes. And she said, Sheree, I'm at work. I can't go get your basketball shoes for you. And all at once, my teenage brain told me that my life was crumbling, right? My teenage brain told me that life as we knew it was over. And I learned a really hard lesson that day, that I was going to have to start doing things a different way. I was going to have to get myself together. I was going to have to make sure that my bag was all set the night before. I was going to have to make sure that that homework was in the bag. I was going to have to make sure that I had things in line because this was my new reality. What I didn't recognize was that that new reality that I was stepping into was actually preparing me for so much more in life. What felt like a breaking down of all my crutches, right? What felt like a stripping away of everything that I knew and was comfortable to me was really a way that I was getting prepared for adulthood. I was getting prepared for life away from home. I was getting prepared for being 8 hours away at college and not being able to call mom and have her pick up my homework for me. In the same way, there's things about that pair of jeans that you've been holding on to that feel comfortable. They feel like you need that. It's like a security blanket. I need that in order to be okay. I need that as a backup option. I need it to keep me safe or to help me to function. I need that in my life. And Jesus is saying, but what if you don't? What if you take this instead? What if I need to show you a new way of doing life that is going to prepare you for what I have for you in the future? Jesus is saying, what if you took this instead? When Jesus is bringing newness into your life, change is necessary. And on the other side of change, you are prepared for the more that God has for you. Finally, Jesus gives us an analogy of wineskin. He says, and no one puts new wine into old wineskins, for the old skins would burst from the pressure, spilling the wine and ruining the skins. I feel like so many times we'd like to stop there, right? Well, we can't have new wine. New wine and old wineskins don't mix, so we have to get rid of one, right? Either we're going to throw out everything that's new and just stick to our old ones, or we're going to get rid of the old wineskins and get some new ones so that it can have the new wine. But that's not what Jesus says. If we finish it, it says new wine is stored in new wineskins so that both are what? Preserved. I love the gentleness of Jesus in this passage. He wasn't saying, out with the old. Get rid of everything that you once knew. He was saying, if you're gonna preserve the old, we have to use old wineskins for old wine. And we have to use new wineskins for the new things that I'm calling you to. You can't take the new things and use the old ways of doing it to get to the new thing. The old way of doing things is going to get you the same old result, and the new way of doing things is going to get you a new result. Both have value. Neither one should be thrown out, but we just have to know what we're applying to which direction. We can't take our old, crusty, dirty jeans and expect that we're going to be able to do everything that we can do in a brand new pair of jeans. The second point for today is that there's room for new and old. We're not throwing out old traditions completely. He just wants to add fresh perspective, new ways of doing things. There are practices and there's disciplines, there's new ways of life that Jesus is calling us into. And our old methods for doing things aren't going to carry this new thing that he's calling us to. Here's the overarching lesson in this passage. We have to be prepared for Jesus to ask us to do new things. And when he does, we need strategy from him on how those new things are going to work with our current lifestyle. Or maybe not work with our current lifestyle. What's going to need to change? What's going to need a new wineskin? When Jesus first started talking to me about my lifestyle, my calendar, my schedule, at that time, it was not uncommon for me to be working so hard that I would come to a crash and get sick. Like, I was so tired that it would cause me to get sick. And then I would have to, like, be in bed sleeping for a few days before I could come out to the world again. It was not uncommon for me to work day after day after day after day after day with no break in between until I got to a point of physical and mental exhaustion to the point that I couldn't even talk to anybody. I just needed to be alone for a few days. It was a regular occurrence for me to sprint as hard and as fast as I could until I couldn't go any longer and I would collapse and have to do some things to get me back into, like, functioning again and then start running again. And in this time, Jesus calls me into this new rhythm of Sabbath. And he was like, hey, I just want you to work 6 days. And then I want you to take one day every single week, and I want you to do nothing else. No paid or unpaid work. Just be with me. And I was like, yeah, that sounds good. Okay, Sabbath, great idea. Let's do it. And so I kept my old jeans on, right? My old jeans of how I functioned, how I did life. And I said, okay, we're going to slap a patch called Sabbath onto these old jeans, and we're going to go for it. And so we get to the first Sabbath, and I'm like, you know what? It's not going to work every week. Some weeks, I'm just not going to be able to do it. Some weeks, it's just not going to fit into my calendar, and that has to be okay. So we're going to skip it, and we're going to keep working. And then we get to the next one, and I'm like, you know what? It can't be there's no way that we're going to be able to do this every time. And before I know it, it's been 6 weeks and I haven't had a single Sabbath. And Jesus is going, so how's that going for you? How's that Sabbath thing? What I learned about this new thing that God was asking me to do is that the wineskin, the jeans that I was functioning in right now, were not going to be able to hold this new thing that he was calling me into. I needed a brand new pair of jeans in order to do this. And what that brand new pair of jeans looked like is it actually looked like a stripping of a lot of things. It looked like a saying no to a lot of things. It looked like a blocking out. It looked like changing the entire way I looked at life in order to carry that new thing. Jesus taught me the very same lesson he was teaching John's disciples in this moment. He was teaching me that the way I had always done life wasn't going to work anymore. But that this new way of life that he was introducing to me was going to require new jeans. I needed to radically change the way my schedule looked in order to be obedient to this new that he was inviting me into. Some old parts of me needed to be demolished in order to make room for these new jeans. Today, I believe that Jesus has been tapping on some of you in a couple of different directions. For some of you, I think Jesus has brought to mind some new jeans that he's offering you. He's saying, hey, I have this really cool new thing that I want you to step into. Do you want it? Do you want to step into this? He's so polite. He's going to wait for your yes. But he's standing there with them saying, hey, here's the new thing I have for you. Do you want to say yes? And I think the opposite is probably true too. There's some of you that he's been tapping on about some dusty, crusty, old jeans that he wants you to throw out. He's saying, hey, this new life that I've called you to, there's no more room for that. I know you've done it your whole life. I know you depend on it. I know it feels comfortable. I know everyone else is doing it. But I've got something different for you. And if you want to run and jump and leap into the new that I have for you, you can't be wearing those things. You got to get rid of them. For some of you, those new jeans that he's offering you might be relationship with him. He might be saying, hey, I want to live in relationship with you. I want to do life with you. I want to be your number one. I want to be the Lord. That means the top of your life. I want to be able to make decisions for you and with you. But you have to say yes.
Thank you again for joining us. We want to give a special shout out to those who pour into the mission here at Hope City. If you want to give to what we're doing, you can find us at myhopecity.church/give. Again, we are so excited that you chose to join us, and we hope you have a great rest of your day.